You are Locked On Ravens, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Ravens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Ravens podcast. I'm Matthew Stevens. You can catch me at Twitter, at MatthewS_NFL, joined by Jacob Troxel, which you can catch on Twitter, at Trox3, T-R-O-X-3. We are always your hosts here on the Locked On Ravens podcast. Big game, obviously, the final preseason game. Huge things to go ahead and talk a little about there. And then we're going to dip a little bit into the 53-man roster, which admittedly we kind of recorded the other day just because there's so much going on and it's midnight as we're recording this now in order to give you the kind of the breaking news from the game. But let me go ahead and mention our sponsors real quick. We're going to be brought to you today by DraftKings and Hims. So let's recap this Ravens-Redskins game, the Battle of the Beltway, as it were, the final preseason game, number 5 for the Ravens. They go ahead and pull out a victory, 30-20. All in all, everybody looked pretty solid. Is there anything that stood out to you, Jacob?
Yeah, no big negatives, a lot of kind of smaller positives, and I don't think anything really changed too much in the 53-man roster projections other than some potential injuries, and we'll get into that in a second. But we still, even now, don't have all of the injury information, and as the days go by, I think we'll get a little bit more of that information, so I don't think the Ravens really exactly know where they're at. With those, but some of the positives first. This is a guy we kind of talked a little bit about previously, was Mark Andrews. He got going early, and I think that was a good sign, obviously, because of Hayden Hurst being out the first couple weeks due to injury. So good to see their other rookie tight end kind of step up. And this was the first game Lamar Jackson started, I believe, and he came out and looked pretty good. Started 7 for 9. Almost threw an interception in the end zone. The ball was a little bit underthrown to Perryman, but I think those two guys were, I guess if you want to call them the standout type of performers. There are a few other guys I'll get into, but I think those were the two main guys.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Jackson finished 9 of 15 for 109 yards, an 82.4 quarterback rating, but where he really and always does shine is on the ground. He had 3 attempts, 25 yards and a score on the ground. So in Andrews, you kind of mentioned that was a 45-yard play just right up the seam. I mean, it was a beautiful pass, led Andrews out of the way of the defender so he could go ahead and run. He was able to bounce off a guy and then continue rumbling for a bunch of extra yards. So kind of something in which you might be able to see that in the future. Those two guys might be able to connect in a big way, in a few years down the line when both of them are kind of the starters. For me, I absolutely think it was the defensive line that stood out in a big way. We saw Ricard all day long. We saw Bronson Kafusi all night long. We saw Chris Wormley again all night long. Some injury news, which we'll get into here in just a second, which is a little disappointing. Really, I only had 2 duds in this game personally, and that was Breshad Perryman, who just made zero effort to try to knock down that interception or even make a play for the football. And then he didn't even really seem to try to touch the defender after he seemingly grabbed the interception. It ended up being bobbled and not an interception, but not exactly a strong showing from Perryman, who had 24 yards on 3 receptions. And then Jermaine Illuminor, who had 1 penalty, and the only sack in the game was based on a bad play from him. So not a positive from him as well. But injury news is really the big thing out of this game. It's the final preseason game. Like you mentioned, not a lot of roster spots are really going to be won or lost here. 2 big injury news things, which we still don't entirely know everything about, and we'll probably have to do that a little bit more when we record Friday, and we'll find out a little bit more then. But Stanley Jean-Baptiste, the cornerback who looked like, I think we both had him on our 53-man roster in place of Jimmy Smith's 4-game suspension spot, he appears to have broken his arm against the Redskins. He came out earlier in the game kind of holding it and went to the locker room. John Harbaugh says it appears to be a broken arm. And then Ravens rookie linebacker Kenny Young spotted in a knee brace at halftime. Harbaugh has no real report on him at this point, but it's never a positive to see a guy who was expected to fight for a starting job in a knee brace in this final preseason game. I'm sure there's a few other guys that we'll kind of hear about tomorrow and as the rest of this kind of week progresses, but those are the two big injury news. You know, Jacob, is there anything from this game that I think you can take away from this and apply it more toward the regular season, or is this just a matter of a bunch of depth guys doing depth things and fighting maybe for the last 3, 4, 5 roster spots on this team?
No, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it there. I mean, a few other guys that I thought stood out, you know, like you said, Kafusi was one. Possibly could trade him for a draft pick. I'm not sure what the Ravens are expecting in return for that guy, a former third round pick himself. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get something done before Saturday, that 4 p.m. deadline. Chris Board, also another guy who was leading the team in tackles in that first half. And just, you know, quietly kind of doing his job. And that's kind of what you hope to see from your linebackers. You know, even when they're not making, you know, big plays or getting sacks, forcing fumbles, interceptions, they're still around the ball all the time making plays. So that was good to see from him. And I thought DeLance Turner, again, had another good game. He's really been building slowly on some performances throughout the preseason. He finished this preseason now with 159 yards on 22 carries. And I think you can make the case that he's looked like the most agile running back that the Ravens have had this preseason. He's just very shifty. He's quick on his feet. I almost want to see him back returning punts or kicks, because he seems like he can make 2 or 3 guys miss on every single play. So, you know, not that he'll be on the roster spot for that, because obviously that was between Janarian Grant and Tim White. But I think he's a good candidate for a practice squad spot.
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys shined in this game, and it's going to be interesting to see how that practice squad really formulates, because, you know, Mark Thompson, not going to make this roster. No offense to him, but he's just not. DeLance Turner, not going to make this roster again. No offense to him. You know, Jordan Leslie and Tim White and Janarian Grant are both guys that are in that obvious that fight for the roster spot as the returner. But both of those guys could also be put to the practice squad as well. So a lot of talent on this team that you just can't keep. I'd love it if Baltimore could keep like 70 guys. I'd have 70 spots filled out for these guys, but they just can't. Yeah.
Make things a lot easier. And I think the Ravens have some good problems on their hands with some of these guys, even though, you know, you've had, like I said, a couple injuries with a few of these guys. You still have depth in pretty much, you know, tonight after we saw that Jean-Baptiste was injured, Kai Nakua came up with a great play, ripped a pass away for a pick six. Yeah. So it's just like one guy goes down and another one steps up. I think you can plug and play a lot of different guys on the back end of this roster into certain spots and have them find success. And there's so much veteran leadership around this team too, in like a lot of different positions. There's really no position on this team that doesn't have a veteran leader that can pull someone aside and be like, hey, look, like this is how you need to look at this. I think it was Eric Weddle who was showing Nakua on the sidelines like a certain route, and that was seemed like it was the route that he had jumped. So you just kind of go down the list, and there's veterans all across the board that can help out guys in all these different spots. So even if the Ravens do have to keep a couple of these young players due to injuries, I don't think it's going to be too big of a burden for them, like I said, just because they have so many player coaches, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't want to be this coaching staff when it comes time to make these final cuts. So many guys that you can kind of plug and play, like you mentioned. Really tough decisions that are going to have to be made in the next few days. Well, guys, if you're going ahead and following the draft and following you know, this team that closely, chances are you're probably also playing around with some fantasy football. I know I am. I'm pretty sure you are as well, Jacob. It is crunch time for fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show called Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, the hottest roster moves, and where to get the advantage. Plus, Ethan Turner, our injury expert, gives you the edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league. All right, excellent. We are here to talk about the 53-man roster on the defense. I'm Matthew Stevens. You can catch me on Twitter at @MatthewS_NFL. I'm joined by Jacob Troxel, who you can find on Twitter at Trox3, T-R-O-X-3. I want to do a quick preface on this. We were actually recording this Wednesday, this portion of this Wednesday. Obviously, both of us cover the football games for our respective other jobs, which means it's a 7:30 start time. We're not going to get out of anything until after midnight. And the last thing we want to do is go ahead and try to figure out the defensive 53-man roster while we're maybe a little punch drunk after a long game. So some of this stuff is probably going to change by the time roster cutdowns actually happen, injuries happen, a variety of different things could potentially happen. So just want to preface that our 53-man roster for the defense is going to maybe be a little skewed since it's actually being recorded Wednesday night. But Jacob, let's talk a little about safety. I mean, that's kind of one of the key positions in this secondary. Who do you have kind of making this team?
Well, safety here, you switched it up on me. Let me scroll down.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I didn't have my safety notes in front of me. Okay, I'm good. So I think with Deshaun Elliott's injury, I think he would have been the fifth guy. Yeah. Otherwise, now without him, I think Eric Weddle, Tony Jefferson, Chuck Clark, and Anthony Levine Sr. are going to be those four guys. I think they're going to have enough talent. Really, it's just about getting through those first four games without Jimmy Smith. And then assuming he is good to go the rest of the season, I think they have enough depth really just as defensive in their defensive back region as a whole.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that one. I mean, I had four safeties making it regardless what was going to happen with Deshaun Elliott. But obviously, like you mentioned, he fractured his arm against the Miami Dolphins. And while he's not on injured reserve right now, Coach Harbaugh did say that that's going to pretty much end his season. He's done for the year. It's just a matter of filling out the paperwork to actually get him on injured reserve. Seems to be really where that's at. I actually had Elliott making it over Levine Sr. just because I think they're going to try to push toward Chuck Clark and Elliott eventually being their two starting safeties once the Eric Weddle and Tony Jefferson show kind of ends. But yeah, realistically, it's just I think that's where it's going to be at. But by being able to have Elliott on injured reserve, Anthony Levine does so much on this defense. I mean, he plays linebacker, cornerback, slot, safety as well. He just kind of does everything. Chuck Clark's also in that same type of a role. You can't pass up two guys that are so versatile as that, which is something that we mentioned with the offensive side of things. Versatility is king in this team this year.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the key on both sides of the ball, versatility for sure. So,
well, let's go ahead and talk a little about cornerback. And you mentioned it just a minute ago, but Jimmy Smith's suspension. He was suspended for, we won't get into to the nitty-gritty details, that was on a previous episode, but he was suspended four games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. So he will come back week 5. That kind of messes things up a little bit, and in terms of a suspension, he technically speaking doesn't count as a roster spot until he's reinstated. So Baltimore actually kind of gets to keep a guy for maybe four games before Jimmy Smith comes back, and then they can figure out what they're going to do with their roster at that point. How many cornerbacks do you think actually make this team as of right now if we don't count Jimmy Smith?
So I think it will be at 6 because I think Stanley Jean-Baptiste will take that 6th spot with, like you said, Jimmy Smith not being there. Brandon Carr, Marlon Humphrey, Tavon Young, Anthony Averett, and Stanley Jean-Baptiste, and wait, who's the other guy. Maurice. I'm always losing people. Those six guys, I think, are the guys that he can start with. And again, a little bit of versatility. I really like Averett, again, an Alabama guy that Ozzie Newsome drafts. I think he'll be – I was very impressed with him in the college football playoff at times. Just he seemed like he was making a couple big plays towards the end of that season. So I like him, and I think these cornerbacks will be able to hold their own without Jimmy Smith, especially with the schedule favoring them a little bit.
You and I are right on the money with cornerbacks here. I have six. I have the same six, and for the same exact reasons. Obviously, Humphrey Carr, those two are your starters for the first four games. You know, both of them were kind of battling out for the spot opposite Jimmy Smith. So Ravens obviously see them as two starters regardless. So obviously they're going to start in place of Jimmy Smith. Then it's Tavon Young and Maurice Kennedy, who Baltimore, again, loves both those guys so much. Averett really did a good job against the Colts. He was targeted, three separate times, or straight times in the end zone in that Indianapolis Colts game, and he was able to bat balls away. He was able to kind of shut down his guy pretty well. I think that was his flash of the preseason that really showed you that he might be a guy for the future that you kind of stash on there. Maybe he doesn't do a lot this first year, but you just let him kind of get used to the speed of the game, kind of like what they did with Marlon Humphrey last year, really. Jean-Baptiste has... There's always that guy every single preseason where you go, wow, you can't cut that guy. What Jalen Hill was that like last year. Tavon Young was there. Kennedy was there as well. Jean-Baptiste is just another one of those guys that the Ravens seem to find out of nowhere who turn into major players for them in the long term.
Yeah, so, and let me ask you, do you, looking down the road here, those first, the regular season, looking at those first four games, where do you think, or I guess let me phrase it this way, how do you think these guys will fare holding down without Jimmy Smith?
You know, I think whenever you don't have Smith, it's not a positive. I mean, Smith was a shutdown corner last year when healthy, and he wasn't even really 100% healthy last year. You know, the guy was on lock for an all-pro before his Achilles injury. That's not a positive. But that being said, is Humphrey and Carr handled themselves well down the stretch, you know, from the cornerback role. And with Young completely healthy, with Kennedy completely healthy, you have Averett now who has shown some ability. And then Baptiste maybe is just an extra guy floating around. You can kind of substitute Averett and Jean-Baptiste around. I think they're going to be okay. It's not exactly like the first four games are a murderer's row of quarterbacks. It's, you know, Nathan Peterman or Josh Allen in the first game, and then it's whoever the Broncos decide to put a helmet on that week. Really, their toughest battle is going to be against Ben Roethlisberger, which is tough, but, you have three games that aren't necessarily scary from a secondary standpoint, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, basically it comes down to who's going to cover AJ Green against the Bengals, who's going to cover or try to cover Antonio Brown against the Steelers, and really the only other thing that might give them problems is I'm really high on Courtland Sutton, the Denver wide receiver. If he's able to get off to a good start, you already have Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders there. Like you said, you know, if quarterback wise, maybe we're not 100% sure how that's going to go, how he's going to gel with his receivers early. But if with those three guys, I think there is some talent there. So it really just depends on how they're able to kind of gel early in the season. But that game is home for the Ravens. So, home game, a little bit of a comfort level. I think they'll be fine, but that is just something to keep on the radar. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, a quick note, Denver has a talented wide receiver group, but it is worth pointing out that they didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Their top was Demaryius Thomas, 949 yards on 83 receptions and 5 touchdowns. Not bad by any stretch of the imagination. Baltimore would pay large amounts of money for that type of production. But, you know, when you have insert name here for a quarterback throwing them, it doesn't exactly lead to an all-star offense either.
Well, yeah, their leading passer last year was Trevor Siemian with like 2,285 yards. So, yeah. You know, you can only do so much when those are your leading passers numbers. But I think they'll be a little bit better this year on the offensive side of things. So, like I said, just something to keep on the radar. And I think depth-wise, that might be the toughest game they have to come across.
Well,
in those first four games without Smith.
I think that's perfectly fair. I mean, it's not exactly, like I said, it's not a murderer's row, but you know, there is talent there. But I think I trust Carr and Humphrey to be able to lock things down well enough. But you mentioned Courtland Sutton. Obviously, if you're a college guy, you followed him all the way through. If you're a college guy, you're going to want to go ahead and check out the college shows that the Locked On Network has. So the Locked On Network is expanding with college shows, launching soon shows for Alabama, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, and the SEC, Florida State and the ACC, Oklahoma and Baylor from the Big 12, Ohio State and Penn State in the Big 10, and Oregon in the Pac-12, and there's more to come. Seriously, the entire lineup is exploding. If you're a college guy, go find your team on the Locked On Podcast Network, and you will be able to go ahead and follow them, just like you follow us. I'm Matthew Stevens, Matthew_NFL on Twitter, and Jacob Troxel is joining me. He's my co-host, Trox3, TROX3 on Twitter. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about the 53-man roster on the defensive side. And again, just a quick preface we're recording this Wednesday night because Thursday night is just going to be way too hectic for us to really be able to get into the 53-man roster after the final game. So things might change. But outside linebacker, we kind of touched on this in one of the previous episodes. Kamale Correa got traded to the Tennessee Titans for a 6th-round pick. That pretty much settles the outside linebacker battle, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but this leaves the team with 5 starters. So you got Terrell Suggs, Matthew Judon, Za'Darius Smith, Tyus Bowser, and Tim Williams.
Yep, that's your 5.
Yeah, and I mean, really, I guess the only, we just kind of expand on that a little bit since there's really no debate in those 5 guys. I guess the only concern here for this group is if Terrell Suggs goes down with an injury, knock on wood. I know he is getting up there in age. And so that's just something to keep an eye on. I don't know how often they plan to use him, if they are going to change anything at all. I still think he's very capable of being a very, very talented guy. By all signs, not really slowing down anytime soon, but still a great pass rusher. And that's really the only thing I think that could derail this group. But they do have a lot of depth, so I'm excited to see what they can do. I think this pass rush is going to be a lot better than it was last year.
Yeah, Baltimore really only keeps 5 outside linebackers, so the fact that Correa is no longer involved in it really, it kind of just makes it easy for the Ravens when it comes to this part. To follow up with what you said about Suggs, certainly I'm knocking on wood as we speak. But I think if Suggs were to go down, Judon immediately slides over to his role. He's done a lot better this preseason of setting the edge and just being that kind of all around 3-down linebacker that Suggs is. And then Tim Williams, if he continues his trajectory that we've seen from this preseason, probably fits into that Judon role as that just pure kind of pass rusher that you then try to figure out with Za'Darius Smith and maybe move those guys around a little bit in an effort to figure things out with Tyus Bowser fitting in somehow. But so yeah, I think they can figure that out. Inside linebacker is really kind of where I think the toughest battle is. Obviously, you've got C.J. Mosley, but who starts next to C.J. Mosley?
So I think really the toughest the toughest thing for this defense is not necessarily the linebackers. I think it's going to be C.J. Mosley. I'll let you go ahead and say Mr. Patrick.
I'm just going to say peanut for right now while I look up the pronunciation again.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah, I noticed you know, more and more announcers are just going with that. I can't blame them.
No. I've actually got it. Just on Wu-A-Sor. On Wu-A-Sor.
There you go. There you go. And here's an easy one. Kenny Young. Yep. I got that one right.
Yep.
And Chris Board, I guess, is the four.
I differ from you on that one, but I agree that it's obviously Mosley, it's Peanut, it's Kenny Young. My fourth guy as of right now is Albert McClellan. The guy is kind of their captain. I mean, he actually has been a team captain over the last few years, and he's a big special teams guy, and you know how much Harbaugh loves special teams. Plus that experience that McClellan has, I think, at that inside linebacker spot, just it makes it tough to let him go, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, big time, you know, like you said, captain and a tough guy to have in the locker room. But I don't know. I think it's a toss up again.
Yeah.
I was flipping through my notes again when I looked at linebackers. I was like, oh, this is an easy group, an easy four. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. No, I forgot. Yeah. You got the McClellan versus Board thing here going on. So, yeah, I think either way, I kind of understand what the Ravens are going at, whether they go with Board or McClellan. But it seems like the Ravens do. I mean, I think, what is it, almost every year, the last couple of years, they brought in an undrafted rookie. So yeah. Maybe he's the guy who keeps that trend going. I'm not sure. We'll have to see. But, you know, either way, like I said, either way, I can understand what the Ravens are doing there.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on that one. I can see it's McClellan and Board, I think, are your two guys right there. Bam Bradley has been on the PUP list. And Alvin Jones, just, you know, he's not there. He's really a practice squad guy. So it's Board's been the one that's done the best. And just like I mentioned with safety, you know, it depends. If Baltimore's really trying to go ahead and push for that young aspect to maybe take the reins, then, yeah, McClellan, I think, is out and Board's in. It depends on really how hard Baltimore's going to kind of rebuild their roster for the future, or should I say retool their roster for the future.
Yeah, and again, another thing to keep in mind too, these rosters, is there's a lot on the line this year for the Ravens, the whole organization. I mean, they've never missed the playoffs four consecutive years. I think even dating back to the first 4 years here in Baltimore. So, you know, everyone wants to get to the playoffs this year. They don't care how they get there or if they have to keep, you know, 10 receivers and one quarterback. You know, they'll do whatever it takes to get back to the playoffs. So if they see a guy that just is able to help them this year, who they think is in a better position, maybe they go with him. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what their thought process is with that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's also going to carry over to the defensive line. You know, there's some young talent there, and maybe some talent that is has not lived up to its potential thus far, a la Kamale Correa at the outside linebacker spot. I think at this point, my list is I have six based on where I've kept everybody else. Do you go seven? Do you go eight? Do you go even maybe more at defensive line for yourself, Jacob?
So I'm making sure I did the math here right. I think I have seven. I think I have seven roster spots left with the 53. So yeah, I'm looking at seven. But I'll let you go ahead and read your list first, since I keep going first. I feel bad. So go ahead.
No worries. So I obviously, you've got Brandon Williams, you've got Michael Pierce, you've got Brent Urban and Willie Henry. Those guys locks to make this team. I think even at this point, really, Patrick Ricard's a lock to make this team. The guy just does so much. I can't see you getting rid of him. My last guy, I have changed this every single roster projection I've done. But this time I have Carl Davis. I think it's, again, that versatility. He's played all three spots along that defensive line, and right now he's listed as a defensive end. And when you're talking about Brent Urban's health, I love Brent Urban. Me and him have texted a few times, had him on, you know, for interviews in the past. I don't think you can really necessarily rely on his health, if we're being honest. And having a guy who is also a defensive end in Carl Davis and can float on the inside maybe for Willie Henry while he's out with that hernia surgery, that's huge for this team. I have a strange feeling, and I don't want to necessarily blow your list, but I think Zach Seiler is going to be on your list, and I almost put him on mine, but I would have had to have taken someone away from somewhere else.
Yeah, so I think, like I said, I'm pretty sure I got this math right, but I think I'm at 7, so that means he is my 7th guy on there.
Yeah.
And I just think he's adjusted well to the NFL level. Obviously, this is a guy coming from Division II football, so I don't think he's looked. You know, sometimes you see some of these guys that come in from even like not even FBS, that like FCS level, and they just look out of place, right? They just look just like the game speed is. That's one of the biggest things you hear about guys coming into the league. You know, the game speed is the toughest thing to adjust. Even veterans, like that's why they play in preseason games, is just to get used to game speed, because practice can't necessarily replicate that. So, so Brandon Williams, Michael Pierce, Willie Henry, Brent Urban, Chris Wormley, and Carl Davis, along with him, is 7. I have 7 just because I had, I had 6 receivers and you had 7.
You had so that's where receivers.
Yeah, so that's where we differ there. Those are my 7, and I think the Ravens always pride themselves on defense, so it wouldn't surprise me if maybe even it's not this position, but somewhere else. I know I said I think they would have kept 5 safeties if Elliott were healthy. So I wouldn't be surprised, too, if they keep an extra guy or two on defense just to make sure – that, you know, they have another top 5, top 10 defense or something. Maybe it's a guy who they think is versatile. Obviously, you know, Ricard will definitely be on the roster. I think his value both on both sides of the ball is something that not a lot of guys bring to the table. And I love me some fullbacks. So you got to keep him on the roster. So I just think, you know, they're afforded a little bit of extra depth there. Without the 6 receivers, or with the 6 receivers.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the harder decisions. And I will say this, obviously, again, we're doing this before the final preseason game. If Seiler isn't on the field at all for this preseason game, the Ravens are trying to hide him. They're trying to go ahead and stash him on the practice squad, and they don't want any more film on him out there. So if you've watched the game and you don't see Seiler at all, that's why. Look for him to go ahead and try to slide through the waiver wire to the practice squad. If you do see him, it's probably because they really want to try to give him a shot to make this roster, and they just want to really finalize it for him. So
very good point.
Tough decisions.
It's always, as much as I try to read into things like that in the preseason when I'm watching and thinking about, like, why would they do something like that? Why would they give someone snaps with the second team instead of the third team? Or, you know, like, are they trying to give someone opportunity? Or are they trying to make them look good? Those are all things that, like, we can speculate on as much as we want to, but it's still very tough to know what the coaches are thinking. And obviously they're not going to come out and say why they're doing something like that. So those things are always tough to tell. That's probably the toughest part about our jobs in the preseason, is looking at all of this and kind of sorting it out and who's playing against what first team and how the second team played against the third team. And, there's just a huge mix of players all over the place, and you're just trying to sort out and kind of grade all of that on top of each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, that's our 53-man roster at this point. That's kind of where we're at projection-wise. Let's go ahead and wrap this one up, and hopefully we're right. Obviously, it's Wednesday, but there's probably going to be some trades. There's probably going to be some guys that aren't even on the roster as of Wednesday. They're going to be on the roster as of Saturday, so chances are we're wrong. But you know what? That's the fun of doing what we do on this end. If you want to, go ahead and again, hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Ravens. That is at Locked On Ravens. You can find Jacob at Trox3, T-R-O-X-3. You can follow me on Twitter at Matthew S_NFL. Send us kind of what your predictions are. Do you think we're right? Do you think we're wrong? Do you think there's anybody that we just missed completely, which, you know, can happen? You know, shoot us your thoughts, your ideas, and then make sure you follow us on Twitter and just subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify as well. And make sure you get our episodes 5 days a week, because we will be here 5 days a week, every single week for you for the Locked On Ravens podcast. Thank you very much, Jacob. I think next episode is really going to be talking about the 53-man roster and how it actually formulated, maybe seeing how right we were or how wrong we were, as well as maybe talking a little bit about some of the X-factor players that you know, we kind of see making a big impact on this roster that maybe other guys don't.
Yeah, some kind of we'll take a look at that, some guys to keep an eye on. And also next week we're going to do a little AFC North division preview, and we'll also be getting ready for the regular season. So plenty to stay tuned for next week.
All right, well, that was Locked On Ravens podcast. Go ahead and again follow us at Locked On Ravens on Twitter. Have a good night.